Will you pray with me, please? Come, Holy Spirit, come, for if you are with us, then nothing else matters. Come, Holy Spirit, come, for if you are not with us, nothing else matters. God, open now your word to us and water it by your Spirit, that it may grow in our lives and bear good fruit that will last to the glory of your name. Amen. Our first reading comes from the Psalms, from Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7. Listen now for a word from God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And turning now to the gospel according to Luke, picking up where we left off about 14 hours ago, in the second chapter of Luke's gospel, beginning now in the 8th verse. Listen once again for a word from God. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This, too, is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, said the shepherds. It strikes me, though, they didn't have to go. I mean, they were on the clock, you realize. They had to work Christmas Eve. They had responsibilities to meet, bills to be paid. Shepherds can't just leave. They could have just said, "Huh, that was strange," and gone right back to what they've been doing. But they went. They went a little bit out of their way. Shepherds, as you may know, were sort of viewed with suspicion by townspeople. Shepherds worked for a living, which meant they didn't always smell very good. They weren't always welcome in town, but they risked a little bit of social awkwardness. They took a few extra minutes and went to pay a visit to a new family. If they hadn't, who knows how the story would have turned out. The fancy theological name for Christmas is called the Feast of the Incarnation. As John's Gospel puts it, on this day we proclaim, "The Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth." The Word became flesh. And when you really stop and think about it, it does boggle the mind that the God who made all that is, seen and unseen, Alpha and Omega, the one who sets the stars on their courses in the heavens, would go to the trouble to come and live among us, to put on human flesh. That's what the church has been proclaiming this day for 2,000 years now. The reason for the season, as they say. And you and I know it's easy in the middle of all the lights and the sugar and the butter, all the merrymaking. It's easy to lose sight of that foundational truth that we proclaim this season about who God is and who we are and what we have to do with each other. It really is a scandal when you think about it, that the all-powerful God would come to earth in the most vulnerable, powerless possible way. And the infant Jesus was so vulnerable, he was completely dependent upon kindness and generosity of others to meet his basic human needs. My children love to hear their mother and I tell them the story about the night that they were born, or in the case of Joshua, the afternoon he was born. I think children often like to hear that story. I like to think that Joseph and Mary told Jesus the story about his birth when he was a little boy. And I like to think that as he was growing up, Joseph and Mary, as their child Jesus was growing up, emphasized to Jesus about how strangers had gone out of their way to show them kindness when they were most in need. So years later, when he was a full-grown man, maybe in his early 30s, Jesus is teaching a lesson to his followers. And he tells them, "Then when you provide food to someone who's hungry, when you give a drink to someone who's thirsty, when you give warm clothes to someone who's cold, when you go and visit the sick and those who are locked inside, when you go to the trouble to show someone that you give a rip, you're doing those things to Jesus." Years ago, I was riding in the car with a colleague. I was in the passenger seat. She was driving. We pulled up to a traffic light, and there was a man standing in the median holding a cardboard sign. My friend rolled down her window, and she reached down like she was reaching for a purse, and I was about to draw a breath to give her a lecture. I was going to mansplain her about how sometimes giving cash isn't always the most helpful thing, because it could enable a destructive behavior. But fortunately, before I could finish my mansplaining, I noticed what she was doing. She wasn't reaching for cash. She reached down underneath the console and produced a can of soup, a small tin of fruit, and a bottle of water. And she handed them out of the window and offered him a smile and some kind words. And he took them and offered his thanks. And the light turned green and off we went. Here was a woman taking Jesus at his word. A woman who knew that when she spent a few extra dollars at the store on soup and fruit cups and bottled water and took the trouble of putting them in the console of her car, and when she took the trouble to roll down her window and offer kindness, she wasn't doing that for a random man on the street. She knew that. And she didn't do it out of a sense of obligation or guilt. She went out of her way. Because Jesus teaches us that when we go out of our way to show a little kindness, to show that we give a rip about those who've been overlooked or forgotten, when we do that, Jesus takes that personally. So what might that look like for you? What part will you play in the Christmas story? You know, social media has its ups and downs, but one of the great things is the memories feature on Facebook, and to look back at those pictures from this year's past. And I saw one last night of my three boys. I had a shepherd, a wise man, and an angel. I'll let you guys who know my children decide who is who. What part will you play? Maybe you're one of the townspeople of Bethlehem. Maybe you have a chance in the middle of all of the busyness and the crowds to take a few extra minutes and offer some hospitality and welcome to a stranger. Maybe you're like the shepherds. Maybe you'll have the opportunity to risk a little bit of awkwardness when you have a chance to share some good news about the gospel with someone in your community. Maybe you are like the Magi and God has brought you to a royal position for just such a time as this. And you have an opportunity to be extravagantly generous to someone in great need. Whatever the case may be, everybody has a part to play in the Christmas story. And that's part of what makes the gospel compelling to me too. Because the incarnation of God on earth, the birth of our Savior, it doesn't happen without human help. It requires a Joseph and a Mary. It requires shepherds and angels and magi. So may we enter the story anew this day. Step out of our busyness long enough to see the face of God. May we take those few extra minutes. May we go, as Jesus taught us, that extra mile. May we give generously, not just because it's the right thing to do, and certainly not out of obligation or guilt, but may we give because by doing so, we are giving to none other than Jesus himself. Thanks be to God. Amen.